All right, lawyer talk off the record. Going old school today. In 1968, Clint Eastwood came out with a movie called Hang 'Em High. A great Western, by the way. It had the skipper from Gilligan's Island. I forget his name.
You guys had a great generation of Western movies.
Yeah, you've just missed out. But actually, you didn't. All you have to do is go watch them.
Right.
You missed out. No, let's talk about the cast here. Now I'm curious. Pat Hingle was Judge Fenton. He's a character actor. Ed Begley, another great character actor, been in tons of stuff. Ben Johnson, Dennis Hopper was in it. Bruce Dern, come on, folks. Inger Stevens, great cast, ensemble cast here. Alan Hale Jr. was the skipper. So anyway, what's Hang 'Em High have to do with lawyers? Almost nothing. Almost nothing, because I just happen to like old Westerns and old movies, and it came to mind when I had the question about what happens after a hung jury and how does it work.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So that's the only thing Hang 'Em High has to do with anything, which is nothing. So here's how this goes. One of my first trials, I talked about in another episode, even today, was a hung jury. It was 11 to 1, but for guilty. How did I know it was for guilty? Because the judge asked. So here's how this plays out. We argue the case. You sit down. You're sitting there half brain dead because you just argued the case and you just finished a complicated mess. And you're reading the jury instructions along with the most judges give you copies of the jury instructions. And most judges give the jury copies of the jury instructions. Not all, but most. And you're making sure the instructions are read correctly, which is nauseating when you have like 30 counts of something. I mean, it just is talk about boring law school class. This just trumps all of it. It's absolutely horrible. All you want to do is just go decompress somewhere. But you go through all this, and now you go grab a cup of coffee. I don't drink anymore, so some people would even go grab a drink. Not saying you should, but there used to be a bar called the Jury Room across the street from the Frank County Courthouse here in Columbus.
It just sold too.
It's sold. Oh well,
it's tough.
Mm-hmm. But the tales of lore would say that there were lawyers and prosecutors that would go drink there waiting out verdicts. I never did it. Maybe it happened. I don't know.
We'll hold you to it.
Yeah. I mean, that was before the days of cell phone science and before the days of surveillance cameras and before the days of posting all this nonsense on social media. Anyway, so you're waiting on your verdict and 6 hours goes by and lo and behold, the judge calls you back and says, we're going to send him home for the day. And I'm like, can't we even get him pizza or something and see if they'll keep it? No, they don't want it. They're going home for the day. You come back the next day. Now we got a full 8 hours of debilitation, deliberation. Come the 8 hours goes by and the judge calls us back and says, look, no questions, no nothing. They're going home for the day again. All right, come back the next day. And at 10 a.m. on the next day, they come out and they've got a question. What do we do if we can't reach a decision?
Tough.
And typically what happens in Ohio, I can't remember the name of the federal case. In Ohio, we call it a Howard charge. A Howard charge is basically a jury instruction where it says, look, you guys are the jury. Your job is to reach a decision. We urge you to consider the views of the other jury. I'm summarizing. So consider the views of this juror, or if you're for another way, consider the views of the other jurors. There is no reason to think that another jury will have any better chance of reaching a verdict, blah, blah, blah. Go back and find a verdict. It's Allen was the case. It was U.S. v. Allen in the federal system, the U.S. Supreme Court, but it's Howard in Ohio. So, and the lawyers have affectionately named that the dynamite charge because you send them back and almost always they get a verdict. But in this case that we're talking about, this hypothetical case, there is no verdict. They come back and say, what do we do if we're still undecided? Now the judge is like, we don't want it. And you're thinking, I don't want to do this again. Sometimes the judge will ask what the split is without saying, is it for guilty or not guilty? Sometimes, and by the way, those questions, the lawyers have to be part of that.
Yeah.
So sometimes you know it's like a 10 to 2 or a 6 to 6, and that can impact whether a judge wants to actually discharge a jury as being hung and declare a, quote, mistrial. That's what happened in the case, this mythical case we're talking about. There was a mistrial. What do we do? Well, I've had cases that have been mistried, and the judge says, all right, we'll be back tomorrow morning, and we'll seat another jury, and we'll do it again. I mean, you, in the old days, judges did, and probably some places they still do. In Franklin County, it's gone off the rails, so that doesn't happen anymore. But
there's pros and cons of that, though. You got the case hot on your head.
You're ready to go. Why not do it twice? Now, there's all sorts of reasons why not do it back-to-back. Mm-hmm. Not to mention, judge, I have a business to run.
Yeah.
And I'm already behind on 10 appointments and 50 calls and 5 motions.
Prosecuting judge are like, oh, yeah, sure, why not? I mean, and, the only thing on our plate right here.
But they'll, you know, there is some, you can see, though, at least it's done. Mm-hmm. But anyway, the judge declares a mistrial. Now, what really happens is the prosecutor has to decide whether he wants to try the case again. And, you know, again, the split there might help inform it. And we can go talk to, I've talked to jurors too that have been hung and try to find out what they're hung up on. I had one down in Pickaway County that it was 11-1 for guilt, and the juror just didn't, that was it. Mm-hmm. That was it. The judge called me up to the bench after reading him the Howard charge and then the second and the third. So he calls us up to the bench, and this was a sort of a, you know, a nice judge. Anyway, the judge calls me up to the bench and says, I don't know what's going on. I said, I do. I said, 11 people have misunderstood the evidence. I made you smile. So that was declared a mistrial. And then after that, though, I was able to negotiate a resolution of the case. So that prosecutor said, look, I don't want to mess with this again. Would your guy plead guilty to this lesser offense, no jail or whatever it would be? Sometimes that happens. Sometimes say it's 11-1 for acquittal. Prosecutor and say, look, if this were, you know, it looks like that it's going a different direction, we're just going to dismiss it. Ordinarily, though, the prosecutor would elect to retry it.
Mm-hmm.
And then you got to retry it. So that's what a hung jury is all about. Now, you would say, what about double jeopardy? Doesn't count.
That was always my first jump was that. And honestly, speedy trial also, because does it just restart the clock after your first one?
Yeah. I mean, I think that would toll time.
Mm-hmm.
And you would have to decide, say it's the last day, that maybe the situation where a judge says we start Monday. You know, there's different considerations. And as the defense lawyer, you're going to be thinking, look, I need to go to school on this. I want to get the transcript. I want to interview some witnesses again. Maybe I want to change my tact. And by the way, I don't like trying cases twice. I do not like it. Have you ever had a term paper that got deleted by accident?
Yes.
All right. When you have to rewrite it, it is nauseatingly painful.
Yeah.
It's like that. I mean, it's really hard. I have a buddy of mine that just won't do it. He says, look, I'm compromised, too close to this now. I can't do it. I don't want to try. I don't want to retry that. I've never taken that position. I retry them, but it's hard to do. Motivationally, it's very difficult to do.
It's also frustrating because you have, it's the body cam argument where we have transcripts now,
mm-hmm.
and now we're referencing a transcript and they have to follow their story pretty much the same or else we're going to chop it up.
And even worse, maybe not worse, but also in the case, I had a case early on where it was mistried and I had a very effective cross-examination of the lead detective about all the stuff that he could have done, should have done, but didn't do. We came around to round two after the mistrial. Well, it turns out he then did all the stuff that he could have, would have, should have done. And it was less effective.
Mm-hmm.
It was less effective, you know? We employ strategies. There's a book on our shelf in the conference room called Sun Tzu, The Art of War, right? Mm-hmm. And surprise is one of the effective, you know, we don't have to tell the prosecutor what we're doing. Mm-hmm. I don't have to share with the prosecutor what my plan is to cross-examine their star witness. I don't have to share with the prosecutor what my opening statement, closing argument are going to be. This is the heat of a trial. It's like a boxer coming in, like in Rocky. I'm southpaw, but I'm switching. I'm going to fight right-handed. These are strategies that you employ, and you lose that a lot when you have to retry a case.
Mm-hmm.
So I always think it hurts. Not always, but it always feels like it's worse for us second time around. But that's what happens during a mistrial. If you've got a question about how that all shakes out or anything at all for that matter about the law, I'd be happy to do my best to address it within the confines of what I know.
Mm-hmm.
We'll do our best. So anyway, Lawyer Talk off the record on the air. By the way, we're sponsored by Circle 270 Media. Phenomenal. If you've got a podcast that you want, if you're in the Central Ohio area, even nationally, great podcast consultant, check out Circle 270 Media. Brett over there will take care of you.